I know what you are thinking. Isn't that cool looking dress guy, the youth pastor? Yes. Is he a superhero? Also yes. But we are not here to talk about that this morning. We are here to share. And guys, so blessed and thankful to be able to be with you this morning. Please keep Brandon and his family, as he was talking from the golf course, from the backyard of his house. He will be joining us after the 18th hole is done. So I'm giving him a hard time because he's probably watching. But I'm not afraid of you because you're far away. Now, do you like movies? Do you watch movies? There are different types of movies and movie styles, and we are not going to get into very particular genres of movies, but the way that some of the movies are told, the way of the stories in the movies are told, right? They're easy movies is they have a clear beginning and the middle and then a conclusion. Right? Now, there are these other movies that I like. The movies that kind of start at the end. Right? The first scenes of the movie, they show the main character going through some trouble or resolving the mystery, whatever it might be, and then it kind of deconstructs as the movie goes along to get, okay, how this guy got to this place, right? There's a particular movie that does that so well, and those movies usually become like classics or cults. There are these other movies also where it kind of starts at the beginning where you see a guy struggling and getting in trouble, and then the movie goes back to the beginning of the story of this particular character until it beats up to that very scene, and in the last 15 minutes or so, the story gets resolved. Well, that's kind of the message for today. We are going to start with the end, and the end is clear. I was blind, but now I see. So we are going to talk about a guy who was blind, but then he could see. Done. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. Remember, next week, there will be a real pastor here, and they want to talk. Now, I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles in the Gospel of John chapter 9. And again, this is a story that happens in between many things going on in the life of Jesus that we will uncover in a couple of minutes. Now, this is the story of a man who was blind, but not by accident, but since birth. So this man was born blind. And society, the way that it is pretty cruel. And back in the day, if you were, particularly if you were a man, or you were a man with like a blindness or any sort of impediment for you to perform labor, or you were a widow, you were out of luck. You more often ended up living on the streets. And this is the story of the man, and this is where we'll find him. Begging on the streets. A man that never saw anything in his life. And as we go through this morning, we will find three different truths in how he recovers, or he gains his sight for the first times, and the consequences that came because of it. But first, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. We pray, we ask you now that you will speak through us as we revisit the story of the blind man and Jesus and the disciples, that we will see a new perspective for our own lives. Teach us, God, to count our days, to be wise, that we will get the wisdom from you to make the right decisions, to bring everything into the light. In your name we pray. Amen. So, John chapter 9, verse 1. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. First thing that happened here. And this wasn't a Jesus strolling through the city like we saw in so many other stories. I want you to picture this is Jesus having a power walk, right? He was walking, but he was moving with speed and along were the disciples. And probably just to try to clear their minds or something, they see this man, disciples start to examine this man. Examine the character. Says, okay, Jesus, this man is blind. And it's known in the city that this man was blind since birth. Now we want to start in this power walk a theological debate. What is wrong with this man? Why this man is in the condition that he is? Is because something he did? Is because something he was going to do and then he got punished before time? It was because something like in the Old Testament we see it and it's clear in the law that when you sin, the consequence of that sin will carry from generations to come. So they were figuring out, okay, is this man sin because of his own sins, even if he was born like this, or because of the parents? They started having these arguments, this theological deep question for Jesus. And Jesus, being Jesus, will teach us always to look at things from a different angle. Instead of jumping into conclusions, jumping into words and these debates, Jesus, wait, guys, this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity for mercy. This is an opportunity for God to jump into action and to reveal his power. How many times we see now in society, how is this cancel culture? Well, no matter what you did, if something, a tweet or a Facebook post or a photo or something you said and it was taken even out of context or even, you know, you were young and silly and thank God because Facebook didn't exist 20 years ago. There is no record for the silliness that we did. Roger agrees with me. The character immediately gets judged and gets canceled without giving an opportunity for absolutely anything. But while that happens, Jesus decides to invest in that character. While others jump to conclusions and start debates on the life of that person and judging the life choices of that individual, Jesus is teaching me, and hopefully you too, that we should be less quick to judge and have a heart move to compassion, to jump into action, to move into the needs of those who are in darkness, on those who cannot see. How many times you guys get to overthink? I get to overthink the whole time. It is exhausting. Right, because you start thinking all the possible variables, and then you start, you know, well, but what if, and then, but if this, and you start getting yourself locked, right, and nothing gets done. We spin in our heads with all this thinking and overthinking. When Jesus was again on the move, and we'll see in a moment, and he decided to just help. Just do the work. In today's society, we see it's no different, right? The fear of missing out. How many times we see, you know, and Jeff was sharing a little bit, you know, how his knees were trembling yesterday morning because he was expecting, okay, nobody registered, and how are we going to do this? And those are big trees, trust me. And because, oh, well, maybe something else coming up, something better might jump in. And because of the fear of missing out on the next great thing, we are missing an opportunity to serve and to do right then and there. That what happened with Jesus. Again, he had a different issue pressing even on him. at that particular moment. But he decided to take the time to stop. And instead of examine, instead of talking, instead of judging, he decided, I'm going to invest in this man's life. So, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. On top of things, because Jesus was a troublemaker, this happened on the Sabbath. This is a day that you are not supposed to do anything. And this is a day when there are very strict laws that apply. And one of the laws is you cannot practice medicine. Now, we see so many other stories in the Gospels that tells us about Jesus healing people, right? And how many of those stories Jesus had to use absolutely no mud, no saliva, only his word, only by someone touching him, only by his words. Even if the sick people wasn't right there in that room, he would say the words and that person was going to be healed. But on that day, Jesus decided, I'm going to practice medicine. And I'm going to practice medicine the Argentinian way. I'm going to spit on the ground, get some mud, rub it into his eyes, and wish for the best. Right? I miss my grandma. Now, it wasn't nothing on the clay. It wasn't nothing even on the saliva. It was just the power of Jesus Christ. And it was this man's conviction. Imagine, not able to see ever. You were born that way. You were begging on the street your whole life. You are an adult now. We are not talking about a child. We are talking about a grown-up man begging on the streets his whole life. And then somebody comes and you just feel the pressure in your eyes. And it tells you now just you go and you wash. And he went. And now he was blind and now could see. Jesus used that opportunity to show his power, even if he had something else going on. And again, this is kind of when the movies start. We are starting, and in our Bibles, we know we have numbers, we have chapters, and we have the Bible verses that tries to keep us on track on where are we reading. But if we go actually to the context, this story pretty much is a continuation of events that they are happening. And we could start easily, and that's a nice challenge for you. If you haven't picked a devotional yet, we are in January, or we are already at January, what is days today? I don't know what day I live. The nine. Okay, many of us already, we are drop our resolutions. So here we go. Let's start a new one. This week, you can start by reading John chapter 8. Read 8, 9, and 10 at home. That kind of gives you the whole story, what's happening. And what John chapter 8 is telling us is Jesus having this debate, this conversation with the Pharisees. In this conversation, as John repeats in many other times in this book, Jesus says, I am the light. And among other things, the Pharisees didn't like it. So we jump to chapter 8. Let's go back so we get the context. Why Jesus is speed walking and see this man. And just before the end, in verse 59, there is a context. Jesus told some things that hurt the feelings of the religious people at the era. So they did a very 2020 thing to do. So they pick up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. So this is Jesus coming out of the temple with a bunch of religious people, the Pharisees of that time, grabbing stones and ready to start to throwing at him. And Jesus said, that's my cue. So he went behind the curtains of the synagogue, and off he went. And as he's walking by, that's how the story goes and continues, he sees this man, this opportunity to do a great thing. And he stopped, knowing that he had these guys pretty angry at him, walking close by with stones. How many times, myself, we get so busy with this life, so crazy, that we are running from whatever life is throwing at us, that we don't stop and we don't see the opportunity to serve. We don't see the opportunity to do good, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Jesus stops by and would I have stopped? Would I have recognized the need of someone else? Would I have put the need of someone else as a priority on my own? Sometimes we are so pushing for life to happen that we are missing these opportunities to discover the impact that God can do in my life. All those talents, all those gifts, we are speed walking and we are missing the opportunities. The lesson from Jesus for this man who was blind and now could see: invest in the characters, invest in people. The story continues. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, is this not the man who used to sit and beg? And some said, it is he. Others said, no, but he is like him. Again, this guy was blind. He was put some mud. Go to the pool, wash yourself, and that's it. He came back to the place. Same ragged, same clothes, same face, same everything. The only difference now, he could open his eyes. He could see. And the people that saw this guy, probably for years, the other beggars, the other people that were with him, the neighbors, everyone was, isn't this the same guy? No, cannot be. That's impossible. Cannot be the same guy. Cannot be the same person. Well, it looks like him, but no, I don't think so. And he responds to them, well, actually, yes, it's me. Then they ask, they said to him in verse 10, then how were your eyes opened? He answered, the man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and I washed and I received my sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. Experience the change. Enjoy the light. Many of you maybe had a same miraculous moment in your life. I know many did when back in the years I've been here and listening to real stories and your testimonies and see how God only could deliver. And it could be something material, could be something in our own health, but how many of us can have the joy in this morning to say, I have experienced change in my soul. I have experienced change in my destiny. When I was condemned and I was lost and I'm unsafe and I see the light. Guys, it is amazing to think how when we get challenged in the way that he was, now we can be the same testimony. In chapter 9, in verse 11, he goes again and he says, I was blind, and now I see. This is the great moment when we experience change, when there is a change that we cannot provide for ourselves. And it's the same God. This book is just to tell you the truth of something that happened, actually, in the streets of a city, next to the pool of Siloam, about 2,000 years ago. But God still and remains the same. And God still shows up in big ways. I had the opportunity to be part of a church plant many years back ago in Washington, D.C. And this church plant that I was part of was in a part of the city where most of the people were immigrants. And most of the immigrants there, let's say it this way, nobody was waiting for them at the airport. So these guys, we started the doing activities for the children, and the children start coming to church, and they accept Christ, and then mom starts joining, and she accepts Christ, and she opens her house for a small group, and in a matter of a few months, this small group multiply, and they are now coming to church, and we are praying, in particularly for the husband of this family. They are from Mexico, and this guy in particular, he was the poster child for the macho men, right? So we go and we share with him, and we invite him to every single thing that we are doing. And every time I'm dropping the kids at their apartment, I'll stop by and I talk with him and say, hey, you know, you missed the service, but we would love to see you next time. And every time his answer was, trust me, if I walk into that place, the place will be in flames, or I will be in flames, because I'm such a bad man. The things that I've done are unforgivable. There is no way that God can love me that much. This has been going for months. Now, sadly, one of his family members passed away in Mexico. And again, he doesn't have the blessing of just getting some papers, jumping on a plane, fly, be part of the funeral services, and coming back. That wasn't for him. But since that person was his mom, and he felt so deeply, he risked it all. And he decided to go back the way that he came, crossing the border, and spend time with the family. Well, these weeks happened, and he stayed in Mexico arranging and making sure for his little brothers and everyone else to keep having a life over there. It was a tough call for him to say, okay, I bring back my whole family or I come back. And seeing the prospects of everything, he decided, you know what, I'm going to risk it again, and I'm going to try to get back into the States. Trust me when I tell you, I work for many, many years with this church. You just don't cross the border walking. It is a hassle. And they get creative, yes, and the desperation makes you make desperate things. He finally finds himself in one of these big, like the movies, these big cargo trucks, a lot of people inside that truck, and crossing the border. And that night, Margarita shows up at the Bible study and asks for prayer, because she knew that day, that particular night, they were going to try to cross the border. I said, please, he's the one that works for us. He's the one that is the only one sustained family here and there. And again, quite the story over there. But the point is the way that God showed up. The guy leading that small group starts to pray. And how you pray for something like this? So he prayed, God, just make him invisible. If it's your will for him to get back to his family, or just make him invisible. That very night when he was crossing the border, the truck was stopped by the Border Patrol. And the Border Patrol surrounded the truck. And he tells this story every single time. He saw how the Border Patrol was opening the doors of this cargo truck. And he wasn't alone. It was a lot of people with him. And this guy from the authorities with the flashlight opens. And the flashlight goes all over the truck, right into his face. And the guy says, close it up. There is no one here. This guy goes home, tells the story to the wife. Wife starts crying. You should see what this guy prayed for you. From that day, that man became one of the strongest, more faithful followers of Christ that I've ever met. And again, it's the same God that does miracles. If I wouldn't be part of that, I honestly would say, this is incredible. But that's what we can know, and that's what we can live, and that's what we can see, and that's what we need to stop judging and examining the people to the little needle thing, what he did, the way he did it. You know what? He needed Jesus, and this blind man could see. Invest in the life of the characters. Experience the change. And again, not all the experiences are the same, but God and his sacrifice, that what he did in the cross, is the same for all of us. And now we get to, and he got to enjoy enjoy the light. The biggest change that you and I can experience is not that physical or material miracle, but the miracle of a redeemed life. And again, John speaks in many chapters before this one about the importance of light and Jesus being the light. And in just 8:12, when Jesus is having this discussion with the Pharisees, he goes on and says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of the world. If Jesus will walk next to me today, will I recognize him? If Jesus will walk next to me and want to anoint my eyes, will I let him? Let's pray that if there is any dark spots in our life where the light has not reached, that today would be a good moment for all of us to bring it to light. Sometimes there are things that we hide on purpose, that we don't want to give up. But until we don't experience the full light of Jesus Christ in our life, we are missing out. Sometimes there are things that you think they are fine, but again, until we don't inspect it, we don't know. I work as an inspector, as a home inspector. So I'm the guy that usually gets hired when you're buying a home. And even if it's new carpet and new paint, I found that the house is falling apart. That is all held with duct tape on the back, right? And sometimes there are things that you see because that's what it is. It's the things that you can see. Now, sometimes you have to be tricky. Now, for example, for insurance companies, they want to make sure that the house actually can survive a strong wind. So there are ways that, in theory, we should be building the houses here in Florida. And there is a very tricky point of the houses, where you have your wall and your roof, right? The truss, the piece of wood with a piece of other wood or cinder block that you have in your house, that's a key component. The problem is that component gets buried in boxes because it's in the attic and buried in insulation. And it's in that little tiny corner of the house that is just the poor inspector and the raccoons that we go over there, right? And something I cannot tell you, my collection of flashlights. Every time I'm collecting a new flashlight, trying to get the best light. Oh, that light is too yellow. That light is too short. That light is so, dull that it doesn't actually give me the definition that I need, because what I need to see is that everything is in the right order, that the right amount of nails are in that particular corner. So isn't until, you know, you find that perfect flashlight and you get there and you just find that angle when you can see it. You might have something, I might have something in my life that is well into the corner of my heart that I don't want to see it, that I cover with some insulation to get protected, that I stuff with some boxes just to keep it away, but that's not hiding the reality of my structure, what's going on with my heart. Guys, it's time for us to jump into that attic, move the boxes, move the insulations, let the light of Jesus shine in our hearts. Usually it's right end of the year or beginning of the year when we do our checks and balances, when we decide to start a new routine, a new commitment, a new habit. Let's start this habit. Let's start this year shining the light of Jesus in all the corners of our life. And this is something not for the pastors to judge, not for the church. This is not something to be judged by your neighbors, your friends, or your own family, like we will see in a moment. This is something that is personal in your heart. And this is the real question for you this morning. Is this a dark corner in my heart that needs the light of Jesus? Is there something that I still need to bring to light for him? Experience the change. Enjoy the light. And finally, exercise your conviction. And conviction is such a strong word. Exercise our conviction. Exercise our faith means that we are at a point that we are willing to leave everything behind but Jesus, to put Jesus as a priority in our life. Quickly, we will discover what happened to this man. Imagine, blind, the whole community, the whole neighborhood knew it. They couldn't believe that it was the same guy that could see. Now, let's jump to verse 13. After all this happened, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now, it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes and washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But the other said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such things, signs?" And there was a division among them. The word for the original word for this one is the same word that we use for earthquake. There was such a division. It was such a movement between even the Pharisees that there were some of them starting to see, okay, maybe, just maybe, Jesus is the light. Maybe this is a man from God. But the voice of the Pharisees that were opposing, remember, he was being chased moments ago by the guys who wanted to stone him, prevail. So he says, no, this is wrong. There's no way that this can be coming from God. Let's jump ahead. So we have the neighbors not believing the impossible, the guys that saw him the whole life. Now we see the religious authorities, the Pharisees, saying, no, there is no way that this is happening. We are going to interview your parents. Okay. Now, they do that. And let's jump a couple of Bible verses. They call the parents in and ask them in verse 19, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answer, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." So now we have even the parents being brought in for questioning. The parents did something here that it required more exercise of this man's conviction. Because the reason they answered in this way to the Pharisees is because they were afraid of them. They were afraid that if they will align with their son's story, it was just, you know what? You are out of the synagogue. You are expelled. So the parents of this man didn't want to take much part of it. They said, well, he's a grown up. He's a responsible man. So ask him. He will tell you, we want nothing to do with this. Exercise your convictions. I mean, some things. Our own neighbors and friends, authorities, even our own closest family members will oppose us. But we need to be convinced that we are following the word of God. This is why we don't follow men. We follow the word of God. If anyone ever steps up in here starting talking something else that is not the word of God, please stand up and leave immediately. I'll give you a ride home if you took an Uber. It's fine. But guys, this is a serious business in these days, in these last days, when we see so much ego being preached, when we see so many other things being proclaimed that they are not from the word of God. We need to be vigilant. We need to invest in people. We need to enjoy, embrace the change, enjoy the light. And we need to exercise our convictions. We should expect more. Now, this man was grilled by the Pharisees, by his neighbors. Even his own parents didn't want to help him that much. So they called him once again. And this time the man was just being filled with Jesus. And he was telling me, wait, what's going on here, guys? Do you want to become his disciples? What are you guys looking to hear? Now, I told you already many times what this man did in my life, and you still don't want to believe. He got to so heated this argument that the Pharisees kicked him out of the synagogue as well. We jump to the last part of chapter 9. In verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? This is another word for the Christ, for the Messiah, for the Savior. Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, and that I might believe in him? And again, this is a completely changed man. He was completely blind. He will believe now. His eyes were wide open, and not just his physical ones, his spiritual ones. And then Jesus goes ahead and tells him, well, you have seen him, and it's he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. For many of us, the miracle came first. For many of us, Jesus brought us through the light, like this man. But it wasn't until this man recognized the authority of God. It wasn't until this man recognized this man as a savior, as the Messiah, that he really worshiped him. When we do great things, never leave out the importance of sharing Christ. Whenever your heart is moved to help someone in need, anywhere might be, make sure they know that that help is not coming from you. It's not coming from your wallet. It's not coming from your strength, but it's coming from God. Make sure that you use that opportunity, like Jesus did, to show more. Not just a solution, but an eternity of living with him. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your word, and thank you for your light. We pray, God, that you will guide us. And as hard as it is, in this very morning, God, we want to bring our darkness corners, bring our dark, our blind spots for you to shine a light. Help us to invest in others. Help us to experience this change, to enjoy your light. Help us to exercise our faith and to expect and to do more for you. In your name we pray. Amen.